Please stand. Our gospel today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 15. If you want to think about this part of Matthew, we could call it Jesus on the move. So Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and they urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And the woman came back and knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and feed it to the dogs." And the woman said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed immediately. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be close to you, God. Amen. Today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew is, what word came to mind for you? Fascinating? Troubling? Confusing? It's a conversation between Jesus and a woman who is a Canaanite. Now, that may not mean a lot to us today, but it is very important to the people who were with Jesus that day, both his own disciples and those who were observing this story, and to those who would hear this story from others, so much so that it becomes part of the canon, part of the Bible that we still read today. So now, way, way, way back in the olden days, thousands of years before Jesus was born, before King David was born, God brought Abraham and the people of God through the wilderness to a promised land, a place where he said, "You will be safe and you will prosper." And that land was first called Canaan, like the Canaanite woman. And much of it became the land occupied by the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in this reading, Jesus is visiting an area outside of that promised land, a place still held by the original inhabitants of the area. Jesus, you might notice, is not on his home turf. Now Jesus is the stranger in a strange land. He is traveling with his disciples. They may have been visiting some people they knew living in that area. We don't really know why they went there. But the people of their God, of the Hebrew God, they were wary of the others, those who worshiped other gods. And they had fought each other over territory for many, many years. And if you think about it, that's what we're still facing today, right? That conflict and war over who does this land belong to and who controls the decisions about what happens in this land. So even in their day, a conversation between a Jewish teacher and a Canaanite woman was not normal. They would have had very little in common, and they were both raised by their elders to see that other one as strange and not children of their God. It was also likely that they were not even allowed to speak to each other since they were not of the same family, people, or gender. So here's the first thing to note today. This is a very, very unusual setting and a very unique conversation. Let's pause for a minute. I also want us to think about Jesus and who is the person of Jesus, who was born both God and human, right? Fully God and fully human. We called him in the Bible the Son of God, but the Bible also refers to him as the Son of Man. Fully part of both of this world and from out of this world. He comes born as a baby, completely helpless, even though has all the attributes of God. He comes completely helpless. He needs nourishment. He needs protection. He needs companionship. We believe he had no sin, of course, but as Jesus grows up, how does he change as a child growing into a man and his understanding of how God is at work in the world and how you interact with other people? Have you ever wondered what Jesus was like as he grew up? How did he live as the Son of God and the Son of humans? I remember a Sunday school teacher asking our class one day, did Jesus pull girls' pigtails? I mean, nobody does it to hurt them usually. It's a sign of teasing, right? And is that part of love? He was from out of this world, yet also born a human in need of nourishment, like I said, protection, and enjoyment, and pleasure, and laughter. Did he fall and experience pain? Certainly. Was he disappointed when people didn't like him? Probably. How did Jesus grow in faith and love toward God? We know he grew up within a strong religious community, caught up in religious conversations when he was in Jerusalem at the age of 12. His parents, ready to go home, has this happened to all of us as parents? Could not find him. Where is our son? It's time to go home. Where is our son? How do we find him? And where do they find him? In the midst of the elders having conversations about God and God's word. And Mary, well, we hear Mary that day as being pretty upset. What are you doing here? It's time to go home. And Jesus says, I must be about the work of my heavenly Father. Ugh, parents, that's got to hit the gut, doesn't it? I must be about the work of my heavenly Father. How Jesus, now we find that Jesus has lived this whole time in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land, in Nazareth, in places that were all occupied by his people. But now, how do we think about how Jesus, his humanity develops? Who is he brought up to love? Who is he brought up to hate? Who is he brought up to be wary of, to keep his distance, to see as unsafe? And how does Jesus change as he encounters people, not only in his own land, but somewhere else? How does he get a greater understanding of God's creation? Does he get an ever bigger idea and perception of the grandeur and the size and who's included in the kingdom of God? Can Jesus' mind grow and change as he matures? So back to this reading. It's a little hard, isn't it, to hear Jesus talk to her the way he did? I mean, this woman approaches Jesus. That's not normal. That's not tradition. That's not allowed. And she begs. She begs for his help for her daughter, a child possessed by an evil spirit. And how does Jesus respond? Well, first of all, he ignores her. That's hard to hear. But for their time, that would have been very normal. Just ignore her. She'll go away. She's not of us. She's not part of our group. Is he rude on purpose? He seems to have little respect for her. But then again, like I said, he was raised in this community that said, these are the others. These are not our people. But that woman does not give up. She's desperate. She wants her child to be healed. She's persistent. And get this, she believes Jesus can do something about it. And how did she learn that? What made her think that Jesus, this foreigner in her land, is someone who can do something about it? And she says to him, she believes he is a Lord and that he has the power to heal. And yet the second time, Jesus is still pretty rude to her. I was only sent, he said, to the lost sheep of Israel. I am not for you, right? I am not for you. And she responds to him, help me, Lord, Son of David. She knows some of his story. She knows something about him. And then he responds. She looks at him and she says, she calls him again, Lord, Lord, help me, Son of David. She asks him again. And here's where it gets really uncomfortable, because Jesus responds with these words, it's not fair to take the food from children and give it to dogs. He's calling her a dog? Well, the woman, that's who, the Canaanite woman, Jesus calls her a dog? Woof. Who here today isn't offended to hear Jesus speak like that? Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. And he refers to this woman as a dog. And yet she rises to the challenge. Even as she is likely kneeling on the floor with her head down, she pleads again, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even the dogs can get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Hold up, Jesus says. Hold up, hold up. Your faith is unbelievable. In fact, it's outstanding. I will do as you ask. Your faith in me is unbelievable, and your daughter is healed. Just like that, your daughter is healed. What happened? I mean, this is a little short story, right? What happened that we move from him ignoring her and being silent to saying, your faith is noticed, and your daughter is healed? One question we could ask is, was Jesus really dismissing her out of prejudice? Was he rude and cruel on purpose? And most of the time when we read this, I know my reaction has often been, oh Jesus, I am so uncomfortable when you talk like this. I don't like this image of you. Or was this maybe just the style of the day that, you know, we always debate things and I throw things at you and you throw things at me and we kind of debate back and forth and kind of test each other a little bit? Or is this a story in a way that demonstrates that God's love is not limited to the traditional understanding of who are the people of God? Could Jesus not be just the Savior of Israel, but the Savior of all people, of the whole world? Is he just the Savior of Israel, or is he going to be the Savior of the whole world? So another point to note in this story, if we had our Bibles here and we had them open, I would say look at the two chapters before this reading in Matthew 13. There's a story there where Jesus is in his home territory, And there's a large crowd gathered, thousands, like they say 5,000 people. And out of a few loaves of bread and some fish, he feeds all of them. You know that story, feeding of the 5,000? Raise your hands. You all know that story. That took place 2 chapters ago. I think that was last Sunday's gospel, right? He fed all those people. Now Jesus has left that area. He's traveled over here to the place outside of where he lives. And the very next story that's going to follow today's reading, the very next story, Jesus is in another part of the unpromised land of Canaan, but this is an area that they called Tyre and Sidon. And in this place, there is a large crowd gathered to hear Jesus speak. Now there are 4,000, and really all they counted were the men in those days. So it's 4,000 men, plus all the women and children who would have been there. And out of some loaves of bread and a few fish, Jesus feeds them all. Two stories of miraculous feedings in the Gospel of Matthew. But one group are the insiders, and the second group are the outsiders. And in the middle between those stories is this story, this conversation between Jesus and the Canaanite woman, where he dismisses her as not having faith, not being of his people. And she says, yes, I am. I am of your kingdom. I believe you have the power to heal my child. And I will stay here and take whatever you dish out, and I can take it if it will save my child. And Jesus says, I see your faith. I see your faith. And your daughter is healed. So isn't that amazing to think about this idea that those two stories are anchored, so to speak, by this story in the middle of just this conversation between Jesus and this woman from a foreign land, when Jesus is actually the foreigner, right? So this is the name given by that area from before the Abraham people came. What if this story is helping us see how Jesus expands how he understands the kingdom of God? There was what he was taught as a little boy, as he went to temple, as he sat with elders, as he honored the Sabbath. And now there's this expanding vision of the kingdom of God that might include other people who are not of those people, of the Abrahamic people. So this is that, I want us to think about how do we ourselves expand the image of who God loves and who God saves. And this story, when I read them with that way, with these two feeding stories outside, it's just, it kind of blows my mind. Doesn't it blow yours to think he went from feeding his own people to feeding those people, and in the middle is this story about this woman who says, I believe you, Lord, have the power to heal my child. I have faith in you. And Jesus is changed. It's like this is a hinge, right, of a book. And that's where Jesus has this change. From here on out, through the rest of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is going to tell everybody he meets, individuals, groups, and crowds, that they are all his people. The kingdom of God is bigger. They are all the sheep of his flock. Whether they are the flock of this day and this place or the flock of this day and this place. And when I read these stories again and recognize that Jesus has this ever-expanding vision of the kingdom of God, it just overwhelms me. It overwhelms me that God can love what we are told should be unlovable, of who should be outside of who we see God loving. From here on out, Jesus tells everyone that he encounters that they are the children of God. And I fall more and more in love with Jesus when I hear these words again, and I am changed. And I hope that they change you as well. Can this image of Jesus, who is continuing to grow in the expansive love of God, change you? Can it change how you look at neighbors, at the people you encounter in the neighborhood, on the street, at your job, in every place that you go? And to see that there are no limits on God's love, no boundaries, no fences, no gates, nothing that bars us from seeing what the kingdom of God includes. In Romans, we read these words, for there is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free. Here there is no longer male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus, the apostle Paul wrote. And he also wrote these words in the same chapter. He said, no, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul said, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Not nation, ethnicity, legal status, identity, country of origin. Nothing can separate us. You know, there's that old joke about when let's choose Danes. When the Danish people get to heaven and they realize there's other people there. Because they thought at one time it would only be the Danes who would be saved, the Dane Lutherans. We're all going to be surprised, I think, when we get to heaven and find out how big is the kingdom of God. And maybe what our job here is in this life is to say, how can I see the kingdom walls expand today? What can I notice to say this is included, this one, this person, this family is part of the kingdom of God, just like me. So today, this Canaanite woman reminds us that we can call on Jesus for help. That we can call and say, you may dismiss me, but I'm still here. You may doubt what I have to bring or what I have to offer, but I'm still here. And that God will see our faith. God will see our persistence. God will see our hope. And we give thanks again that Jesus is the Son of God and of humans, divine and human, because God loves creation so very much. Are you changed too? Can you see that there is nothing you have done that will separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ? No matter what shame you carry, no matter what wound you carry, no matter how you have wounded others or stolen or betrayed others, you are part of the kingdom of God, loved, forgiven, and given a second chance. Be changed, my friends. May we all be changed. Every time we need to be reminded that God's kingdom is bigger, bigger than we can imagine, beyond our limits. Thanks be to God. Amen.